send us men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning again, everyone. Thank you for taking time to listen to the message. The only announcement that I have this morning is that we're going to go see Penny at the Event Center next week to see about dates for a conference this spring. I think we learned our lesson from the fall, and we'll plan on just the Event Center this time. Then, if we have the numbers increased, we can expand as needed. You know, what I've tried to get people to understand is that when we do something like this, you know, Teresa and I are on the hook, you know, for a minimum amount of money that has to be paid, whether we've got enough people coming or not, and $500, $600, $700 or so. I realize, you know, for most people, it doesn't sound like a whole lot of money, but it is to us, and it would be a pretty big deal for us to incur a loss like that if we were unable to meet the minimum. So I think Teresa said that we're required for a minimum of 8 rooms for the smaller facility, and I already know that we probably are really close to that if we call for a meeting. So when we know some dates, we'll get that information out to you as soon as we have them. And I know that we had some really disappointed people last fall because we couldn't meet, and I feel awful about that. So we'll do our best to make sure that no matter what the numbers are, we'll figure out a way to meet, even if it's just a very, very small group. So here we go again. If you even think that you might possibly be able to come here for a meeting sometime in what the world calls March, just let us know as soon as you can. I want to say thanks to several of you who wrote in this week expressing feelings for the things that I discussed last week. But I need you to hear me on this now. I've been dealing with meanness and hatefulness for about 40 years now on the subject of fulfilled Bible prophecy and the implications, which are ultimately what's most important, and those implications being that Jesus was the Christ that came in the first century. He set up his kingdom, and since that time, it has been the responsibility of every living, breathing creature to conform to that kingdom ever since that time. And somehow, even with me saying 1,000 times, you know, what matters are the implications. You know, I still hear from people who say to me, you're saying if I don't believe in Bible prophecy the way you do, then I'm not, quote, saved. Okay, I'm not talking about Bible prophecy necessarily, at least not in the sense that most people understand it. Most people understand, in their minds anyway, when they think of prophecy, what comes to mind is eschatology. And they think there are several ways to view eschatology, and it's just not that big of a deal what someone believes about eschatology. Well, eschatology is a church and churchman creation. I don't talk about eschatology. I don't talk about this church says this and this church says that, except to show what they believe does not line up with the Bible. And it's my job to help people come to the truth to make sure that what they believe does line up for the Bible. So yes, it is a matter of coming to truth that brings someone to a place of being born again. And that's why it is not just important, it is the most important thing that we get this nailed down. I asked you last week, can a practicing sodomite come to Jesus, embrace Jesus, even be H2O water baptized, and walk away still being a practicing sodomite? Well, here's a classic example. Here's an answer to that. When Jesus called Matthew to be his disciple, he, Jesus, Yeshua, went to Matthew, who was at that time called Levi. Levi did not even, quote, come to Jesus. Jesus went to Levi while he was working as a tax collector for Caesar. And Jesus told Levi to get up from the table and come and follow him. And what did Levi do? He got up from the table, left his job as Caesar's tax collector, and followed Jesus immediately. Now, those who do not understand the true gospel of Jesus Christ would be perfectly content with Levi keeping his job as Caesar's tax collector. Because, well, after all, Jesus preached that men should pay taxes to Caesar, right? Well, is there any record of Levi going back to his old job after he became a disciple of Jesus Christ? No, there isn't. Well, what then is to be learned from that story? Well, there's several things to be learned. The first thing that should be the most obvious, even to a casual reader of the Bible, is that Jesus did not want Israelites paying tribute to Caesar or collecting Caesar's, quote, taxes. So he went and pulled the Israelites right off the job site. Levi wasn't just the only one. There were plenty, plenty more that Jesus rescued from Caesar's clutches. Well, what kind of a righteous, honest, good man tells someone to quit their job with no 2-week notice? I mean, what kind of a righteous, caring, sensible person tells someone to quit their job without first finding a replacement? Well, I'll tell you what kind of person tells someone to stop doing something that's wrong and follow him. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who does it. But today, again, what horror that we should tell someone who is a banker that in order to follow Jesus, they need to quit their job and find honest work to support their families. Well, that's not the gospel, Charlie. How dare you tell someone they need to repent of their sins, stop what they're doing, and follow Christ? Well, of course, you know, we'd tell a stripper or a prostitute to find different work, wouldn't we? But the banker, the IRS agent, a politician, the blood of Jesus covers their sins, even to where there really is no need or urgency to quit what they're doing, but just follow Christ in a different line of work. We needn't let a constitutionalist know that the Constitution is diametrically opposed to the laws of God and that they should forsake that document, as well as the statues that are created in pursuance thereof, and the citizenships that are created in pursuance thereof and become an exclusive citizen of the kingdom of God, the Commonwealth of Israel? Why, Charlie, don't you know that if we taught those things, no one would be a Christian? Well, friends, I've heard that so many times. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people tell me things like that. Well, the second thing to learn from Levi Matthew's conversion is that coming to Christ means forsaking your life and following Christ the King. So let's just change the gospel. Let's make it easier for men to, quote, accept Jesus. And look what's happened. Look at where we are today. But then again, you know, we have an excuse. We have a reason why there is, quote, all this evil in the world today. Well, it's God's fault. God planned it that way. This is all the fulfillment of Bible prophecy right before our very eyes. And as Hal Lindsey said in his best-selling book, There's a New World Coming, all these terrible things that are happening in the world today should gladden the heart of every true believer in Jesus. What I'm trying to get people to see is that, quote, all the evil in the world today is the result of men, women, boys, and girls never having the true gospel preached to them. that Jesus is king right now, and that they are to come out from among the little g governments of men and into the only God-ordained government in the world since the first century, the kingdom of God, the commonwealth of Israel. If and when men and women, boys and girls, obey the true gospel of the kingdom, the world will be turned upside down, right side up, and it will happen in a very short period of time. One of the problems that we're facing, however, is that some of the people that should be preaching the present-day reality of the kingdom are spending a lot of time fighting against it. Listen, friends, this is not hard. If someone is preaching a future kingdom, then what they're doing, whether they know it or not, whether they realize it or not, the people who are listening to them are wrongly concluding that the kingdom of God is not for today. Now, I've had a lot, and I mean a lot, of pushback since I named this series, Christians Believe That Jesus Fulfilled the Prophecies. Now, I'm actually encouraged at how far this teaching has become, or how far this is reaching. I'm glad that people are hearing this message, but I hope their anger and their rage turns to knowledge and repentance. But we'll just have to see about that. Because right now, it's mostly rage, and that's fine. You know, I was just about to quote it, but I want you to see it. I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 2. And let's read beginning in verse 1, in keeping with the fact that we need to see these verses. You don't just need to hear me quote them. We need to see them. Look at Psalm chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Well, this is why. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. While the churchians often quote verse 7, they fail miserably in understanding that the whole purpose of verse 7, that is to point people to the truth that Jesus, his son, became king sitting on the holy hill of Zion. And this took place in the first century. You know, I'm amazed at how little people actually know the Bible. I've pointed this out so many times that everything about Jesus, everything about Yeshua, beginning at his birth, well, actually before his birth, everything about him, and then in his own words during his ministry, and the words of his disciples, then even the words of those who murdered him, the executioners from the state doing the bidding of the religious men. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 27, and we'll begin in verse 1, please. Listen to the words of the people in the first century, what they had to say about Jesus the Christ of the first century. Matthew chapter 27, begin in verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Now watch verse 9. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. Okay, I see. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. He, Jesus, Yeshua, and those of the first century, well, they, he, whatever, fulfilled some of the prophecy of Jeremiah. But no way did he fulfill all of it. Well, friends, the conclusion of all the prophets, not just Jeremiah, not just Isaiah, not just David, you know the prophecies were fulfilled, all of them, when the King of Zion is revealed. That's the purpose of the prophecies. That's what the prophets were prophesying. You know the prophecies are fulfilled when the King of Zion is revealed. To say that the prophecies have not been fulfilled is to say that the King of Zion has not been revealed. What I'm trying to get people to see is that the King of Zion was revealed in the first century. And we know this because in order to be king, he had to fulfill the prophets. And every single thing about his life screams, this is the King of Israel. Continuing with verse 10, and gave them for the potter's field as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. Look at what an unbelievably ridiculous uproar in the U.S. has occurred in the last year or so. You know, Trump, by rejecting the, quote, election, Trump was saying, I am the president of the U.S., And look at all the fallout that has taken place as a result of what he and his followers have said. Well, what type of fallout do you think was taking place in the first century when a great many people in that day were saying that Jesus was king? I want you to keep your finger here in Matthew chapter 27. This is going to get really crazy here, I got to tell you. You're going to need fingers, you're going to need pieces of paper, you're going to need all kinds of stuff to keep track of, because we're going to be going back and forth this morning, and hopefully you can keep up. If you can't, just get the message notes and you'll be able to do that that way. But I want you to keep your finger here in Matthew chapter 27, and I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to begin in verse 1. So keep your finger in 27 because we're going to be back. But this now is Matthew chapter 21, and verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. Okay, I see. This part of the prophecy was fulfilled, but the rest of it wasn't. Okay, put a piece of paper here to mark this, because we're going to come back to it. Turn to Zechariah chapter 9. And we're going to begin in verse 1. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. Now, Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 1. The burden of the word of Yahweh in the land of Hadrach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof, when the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be toward Yahweh. Hey, right there. This prophecy has not been fulfilled. This is unfulfilled. Yep, I had someone tell me this week. And I also watched a video from Rabbi Tobias Singer saying the same thing as he quoted Zechariah. Messiah will fulfill this. Jesus did not. Therefore, he was saying that Jesus was not the Messiah. Heard that from a churchian this week and the rabbi, saying that Zechariah chapter 9, verse 1, has not been fulfilled. And they were saying the same thing, quoting the same passage. Verse 2. And Hamath also shall border thereby Tyrus and Zidon, though it be very wise. Okay, this is Tyre and Sidon from Matthew chapter 11. We read it last week. And Tyrus did build herself a stronghold and heaped up silver as the dust and fine gold as the mire of the streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out and he will smite her power in the sea and she shall be delivered with fire. In speaking of Tyre and Sidon, Jesus referenced the prophets in Matthew chapter 11 and he made it abundantly clear that the prophecy would be fulfilled in their generation in the first century. Listen to me, please. To deny that what we're reading in Zechariah chapter 9 was not fulfilled in the first century is to deny that Jesus, that Yeshua, was the Christ. It's the Jews' religion. And the Jews' religion is Antichrist. So, to clear this up, again, as clearly as I can possibly make it, to teach that Jesus did not fulfill the prophecies is to teach the Jews' religion. And those who teach the Jews' religion are Antichrist. That's what the book says. The fight is not with me if you don't agree with this. The fight is with the God of the Bible who caused the men in the first century to write what they wrote. Now, verse 5. Ashkelon shall see it and fear. Gaza also shall see it and be very sorrowful. And Ekron, for her expectation, shall be ashamed. And the king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. And I will take away his blood out of his mouth and his abominations from between his teeth. Now listen, but he that remaineth, even he, shall be for our God, and he shall be as a governor in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite. Take a piece of paper and mark this chapter in Zechariah because we're going to come back. I want you to go now to Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1, remembering now that at this time, at the time of Zechariah's prophecy, when it was to be fulfilled, even he shall be for our God, and he shall be as a governor in Judah. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. I see again. This prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus in the first century. Well, was it? Well, wait a minute. Zechariah hasn't been fulfilled yet. This hasn't happened yet. Oh, my futurist world is crumbling all around me. If Jesus fulfilled Zechariah, oh my. Well, let's just say that he fulfilled some of the prophecies. Certainly not all of them, because I mean, look at all the evil in the world today. We really do need a Messiah to come back here and save us from all that we've created ourselves. Because we refuse to believe that Jesus, that Yeshua, was the fulfillment of the prophecies. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Word for word, Zechariah chapter 9. Now verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they would have come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. And there was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Prophecy fulfilled, Hosea chapter 11. Now verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth, and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. No, this can't be. The prophet Jeremiah hasn't been fulfilled. There are many prophecies in the book of Jeremiah that have not been fulfilled. Yeah, friends, that's what the Jews say. And that's why they say Jesus, Yeshua, was not the Messiah. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, please, and we'll begin in verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 1. At the same time, saith Yahweh, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. See, Charlie, that's not happened yet. There's still evil in the world. You know, there's a day coming where the knowledge of God will fill the earth and all the nations will flow into it. And that hasn't happened yet. Okay, if that's what you want to believe, just know then that that is exactly what the Jews say. And they say it to say that because Jesus did not fulfill this, he was not the Messiah. Now, verse 2. Thus saith Yahweh, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Yahweh hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt be adorned with thy tebrays, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines in the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchmen upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto Yahweh our God. For thus saith Yahweh, Sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. Okay, now this is sounding maybe a little bit like Jesus here. Okay, I'm going to take this part, but not the other. You know, that is an evolutionized, convoluted belief system that's a mixture of the Jews' religion and the religion created by something called the church. Nah, you know, of course that can't be, because we've never heard of something called Judeo-Christian before, have we? Now, verse 9. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yahweh, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. Of course, that doesn't sound like Jesus at all. For Yahweh hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Oh, friends, can't you see? Jesus was the Messiah because he fulfilled the prophets. We're seeing this morning the writings found in the last 27 books and comparing them with the first 39. And we see that Jesus, Yeshua, fulfilled the prophecies, all of them. Everything in the prophecies were for the purpose of revealing the King of Zion, the Son of David, the promised King of Israel. That's what the prophecies were for. Verse 12. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of Yahweh, for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. This is exactly what happened to those people in the first century to whom the Messiah King was sent to. And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith Yahweh, refrain thy voice from weeping and thy eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith Yahweh, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith Yahweh, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn now me, and I shall be turned, for thou art Yahweh my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith Yahweh. Set thee up waymarks. Make thee high heaps, set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For Yahweh hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use the speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. Yahweh bless thee, O habitation of justice, and the mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all the cities thereof, husbandmen, and they that go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awakened and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down, to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, saith Yahweh. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Jacob, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband to them, saith Yahweh. Surely we don't need to go back to the book of Hebrews this morning and read this word for word, do we? This is how we know that Jesus, that Yeshua, was the Messiah King. The prophecies, all of them, were fulfilled in the first century. You can't go through this 31st chapter of Jeremiah and pick and choose what you want to believe was fulfilled and what you don't want because you don't understand or because history doesn't say so. We believe because that's what the saints in the first century were told, and that's what they believed. They had no other reference point besides what they were told to believe. That's what the faith once delivered to the saints is. Believe the same way they did. That's what's expected. We don't unravel what they believed because we can't go back it up from some extra biblical history book. You know, I said it a couple weeks ago. Isn't the Bible a history book? Why do we need more than that? Here's all the history we need. Matthew chapter 2 says that Jeremiah 31 was fulfilled in the first century. And what's that mean? It means that Jesus was the Christ. Yeshua was the Messiah. He was the King. And I'll say it again and again and again. If we truly believe that, then we'd be living it. I had a man tell me this not long ago that he pays tribute to Caesar. He pays taxes to Caesar. But he's also fully immersed into Christ. Okay, who told him to pay to Caesar? Caesar or Christ? Well, I'd say there's more immersion into Caesar than there is into Christ, based on his own testimony. Okay, now hear me again, and I'm not saying that for any other reason than to say this. Are you seeking the kingdom? Are you trying to come out from among them and be separate? Are you trying to follow the King? Are you taking any steps to remove yourself from the governance of men? Okay, don't show us faith, a system of belief, with mere words. Show faith by your actions. Now, I'm not condemning, I'm not condescending when I'm saying these things that I'm saying, but rather I'm just trying to encourage and strengthen men who claim to be followers of Christ to let's get busy. The night is far spent. Today is the day. Jeremiah 31, verse 33, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yahweh, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know Yahweh, for they all shall know me, from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, saith Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith Yahweh, which giveth the light for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yahweh of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahweh, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith Yahweh, if heaven can be measured and the fountains of the earth searched out beneath, I will cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahweh. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that the city shall be built to Yahweh from the tower of Hananel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Gareb, and shall compass it about to Goath, and the whole valley of the dead bodies and the ashes, and all the fields under the brook of Kidron. Under the corner of the horse gate toward the east shall be holy unto Yahweh. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever." Now back to Matthew chapter 2, and let's read again from verse 17. "Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." What this is saying is that Jeremiah 31 was fulfilled in the first century in Jesus, in Yeshua. Verse 19, "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene." Now, go back to Zechariah chapter 9. Okay, I sure hope that we can remember all these trails that we've been down. I want you to know that I've pretty much already tossed the notes out because my mind is just going a million miles a minute right now. But Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 8, "And I will encamp mine house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more. For now have I seen with mine eyes." Okay, there you go, Charlie. That's not been fulfilled. Evil still exists. This is all in the future. Okay, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Verse 9 is again pretty much word for word what Yeshua said in Matthew chapter 21. The end of the prophets, the conclusion of it all, the whole purpose of Messiah was to be the anointed king. And you know when the king has come because he fulfilled the prophets. The reason the Jews reject Jesus is because they say that he did not fulfill the prophets. Now, we're either going to believe the last 27 books of the Bible, which clearly show that Jesus fulfilled the prophets, or we'll believe the Jews' religion. I know which one I'll take. Verse 4 again, Matthew chapter 21. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." The disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt and put them on their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Turn to Psalm chapter 118, and let's read the whole chapter beginning with verse 1. This is Psalm chapter 118. "Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear Yahweh say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon Yahweh in distress. Yahweh answered me and set me in a large place. Yahweh is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Yahweh taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in Yahweh than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in Yahweh than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of Yahweh will I destroy them." Okay, right there, Charlie, again, not fulfilled. There's prophecies not fulfilled. Okay, verse 11. "They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of Yahweh I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of Yahweh I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but Yahweh helped me. Yahweh is my strength and song and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh doeth valiantly. The right hand of Yahweh is exalted. The right hand of Yahweh doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of Yahweh." Now, does that ring a bell? Well, how about "whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die"? Verse 18, "Yahweh hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise Yahweh." Nope, evil's in the world. This can't be fulfilled in Jesus in the first century. There's still evil in the world. There's not righteousness. Verse 20, "This gate of Yahweh into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner." Nope, book of Daniel is not fulfilled because we're still looking for that stone to crush Rome. The stone hasn't come yet. Friends, these are things that people are saying to me right now. Verse 23, "This is Yahweh's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which Yahweh hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh." There's another fulfilled prophecy. "We have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh. God is Yahweh, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even into the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That is so cool. Wow, the conclusion of the prophets, the whole purpose of the prophets was to prophesy the coming of the king. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. We have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh. We don't know how all these things were fulfilled in the first century. We weren't there. We weren't around. But we believe because that's what we're told to believe. Look at these. Okay, look at these verses. Michael reminded me of these week. They're excellent. John chapter 21, verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Do we believe that? Well, we better. Look at John chapter 20 and verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That's exactly what we read from 1 John chapter 4. These things are written to show us that Jesus, that Yeshua, was the Messiah King. He's not a coming Messiah. He's not a coming King. He already came in the flesh. And those who believe that a King is coming in the future are those who preach the Jews' religion. That's why I'm trying so hard to get people to see true Christians, true followers of Christ, believe that Jesus, that Yeshua, was the Messiah. He was the King. He came. He's not coming again. The Jews do not believe he was the Messiah King, and they're still looking for another to come. They say that Jesus did not fulfill the prophecies, and because of that, he was not the Messiah. Turn to Luke 24. This is why we're doing what we've done this morning and going through all these verses or all these sayings in the Gospels, then seeing what the prophet said. This is Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And remember, this was said after Jesus had said to them just a little earlier in Luke 21, 22, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But wait a minute, days of vengeance. These are the days of vengeance. But we know from history, history tells us that the wicked were not judged at the destruction of the temple in AD 70. That, quote, doctrine, that false doctrine. Listen to me. If the first century was not the days of vengeance, if the times of Jesus did not fulfill all things that were written, then he was not the Messiah. It's that simple. This is not hard. And this is what the whole struggle with the Jews was all about. The Jews of the first century, the ones whose eyes were blinded, the ones who had ears but could not hear, they could not see how Jesus was fulfilling the prophets. They didn't have spiritual eyes. They did not have spiritual discernment. That's why the Gospels and the book of Acts go into such painstaking detail to show that Jesus fulfilled the prophets. Back to Matthew chapter 21 now, please. Pick back up with verse 10. Matthew 21, verse 10. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written. Where? In the prophets. It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And he said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read? Okay, don't you know the prophets? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. All right, because we're running out of time, I won't take you back there, but that's Psalm 8:2. Well, now we've come full circle back to Matthew chapter 27, and we need to pick back up in verse 12. This is Matthew 27 and verse 12. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they gathered together, Pilate said unto him, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. When he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, He saved himself, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land into the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Another fulfillment of prophecy. Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Why did they mock him with these sayings about Elijah? Very simple. Go back to Malachi chapter 3 and 4. Okay? If he was the Messiah, if you are the Messiah, if you are the fulfillment of the prophets, then Elijah will come and save you. This is why they were mocking him. And this is why the Jews say that Jesus was not the Messiah. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now with the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Everything about his pre-birth, his birth, his ministry, his preachings, then his arraignment, his sham trial, and his execution screams, this is the King of Israel, which was prophesied to come. All the prophecies, the teachings of Moses, it all points to the coming king. That's what the prophecies were all about. That's the conclusion of it all. We know when the arrival of the king takes place because he will fulfill the prophets, all of them, and all their prophecies. For those who will not listen to me, and that's fine. That's been going on for a long time. But I want to play again more from Rabbi Tobias Singer. There's two reasons. One, to expose the erroneous teachings of the Jews and those who do not claim to be Jews but still preach the Jews' religion. And two, to help those of you who are trying to reach people with the truth that know what you're up against and how to refute it with the Bible. I want you to listen to this. This is Rabbi Tobias Singer. Jesus was not the Messiah because he did not fulfill Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Brethren, I'm telling you this, Jesus did fulfill Isaiah chapter 2, and I can prove it, and you better be able to prove it too. I played for you the churchy and Israel preacher, quote unquote, saying that Malachi 4 was not fulfilled in the time of Jesus because evil was still in the world. The rabbi says Malachi 4, and the fact that evil is still in the world is proof that Jesus was not the Messiah. Well, Jesus did fulfill Isaiah 2. Jesus did fulfill Malachi 4. Jesus did fulfill Jeremiah and Zechariah. And I'm telling you again, and I will not back down, if a man does not believe that Jesus fulfilled the prophets, all of them, that man is teaching the Jews' religion. Listen, listen in their own words. Listen to, quote, Rabbi Tobias Singer.
No. Rabbi, why do Jews reject Jesus? And I mean, looking at it historically, why didn't they just out the gate recognize, dude, this is the Messiah. This is the promised one. This is our Messiah. Why don't they accept it? What's the problem with, I guess I could use the term, what's the problem with the Jews, man? What, as Christians will say, they're hard-hearted. They don't see the truth. They don't have spiritual eyes, et cetera, et cetera. But what is the truth from a Jewish side?
The answer is that it's the Bible. It's passages, soaring messianic passages in the Jewish scriptures, and nothing that Jesus did bears any resemblance to what the Hebrew prophets said the Messiah is supposed to accomplish. It's really that simple. You know, the Jewish people would have loved to have a Messiah during the first century. For those who don't know, it's not like in our time, we can get on a plane in 11 hours, be there, and the nice, friendly people. That was during the Roman Empire. We were under the heel of the empire. We would have loved a Messiah. The problem was that what he did, we are told, by the church, bears no resemblance to anything that we find in the Jewish scriptures. Let's take a look at a messianic passage that's so famous that even the United Nations, I'm not a fan, had the brains to put it on the wall of the UN on 42nd Street and First Avenue. Northeast corner is the Isaiah Wall. This is the United Nations. So you imagine you want to come up with something fairly uncontroversial. The book of Isaiah is considered holy by about one out of two people on this planet. Okay? All right? So we're not, I'm not going far afield. I'm not reaching. I'm not, there's not an inference. In the end of days, this is Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Really simple, okay? The Lord, his temple be raised above all mountains, above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Next verse, verse 3. People will say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, the temple of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. In verse 4, believe it or not, we have six words that tell us about the Messiah himself. Six words in Hebrew. He will judge between the nations, and he will rebuke many people. That's it. No dying for anybody's sins. No resurrection from the dead. No dying on a cross. No lamb talk. None of this stuff. And what will they do? The world will do this. They will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Lo yisa goy el goy cher v'lo yilmudu oid milchama. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn of war anymore. Okay? These are the most numinous, ecstatic messianic prophecies in all of the Hebrew Bible. It's actually mentioned in two places. It's mentioned here in Isaiah 2 and almost a verbatim in Micah chapter 4. Okay? It made it to the United Nations. The United Nations can agree that's an appropriate text. And it says this is what will happen ba'achris hayomim, in the end of days. That means there are texts that are controversial. This is not one of them. Now listen very carefully. Did anything Jesus do, did anything in the first century occur that remotely resembles this? Nothing. Was there peace during the first century? Did the nations take their implements of war and transform them into implements of agriculture? Did that occur? No, just the opposite. The first century was riddled with war between the Jews and the Romans, between the Romans and other groups. There wasn't a temple built. There was a temple destroyed. It bears no resemblance to that. Now, here we're going to go, here's where we go nuclear, okay? You are not ready for what you're about to hear. This passage that is so famous, in how many, there are 27 books in the Christian Bible, 27 books in the Christian canon. Of those 27 books, in how many of them is this passage quoted?
That video was called New Testament Cover Up, Jesus Cannot Be the Messiah. Listen to me, friends. I'm not preaching about some church doctrine called eschatology. It's something that 99 people out of 100 probably can't even spell. This is about whether or not Jesus was the Christ that came in the flesh in the first century. If a man does not believe that Jesus was the Christ that came in the first century, that man is Antichrist. I didn't write the book. I'm preaching what the book says. I'm preaching what the first century saints believed. This was their system of belief, their faith. And in order to be in Christ, we must have the same faith once delivered to the saints. The first century saints believed that Jesus fulfilled the prophets. The king would be known because he fulfilled the prophets.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit godsendusmen.com.